Hi, I'm Juanita Sherwood. I'm a Wiradjuri woman and Academic Director of the National Centre for Cultural Competence at Sydney University.
Hello, my name's Liz Sullivan and I'm a Professor of Public Health at the University of Technology, Sydney.
What is cultural competency?
Well, that's a big question. And cultural competency is basically really about providing care to people, to all people, equitably, and ensuring that you're respectful of their culture and adapting your services to meet the needs of cultural diversity.
I want to ask you, Professor Sherwood, about your experiences and what sort of drove you to go into this area in the first place and what need you saw in the community and in health practice.
I think I've been working in Aboriginal health for the last 30-something years, and I think there's been many, many, many times and opportunities that have come that have made me appreciate that people aren't being respectful of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in health services, and that's had major implications on people's health and well-being. We've all worked in this space and we've experienced in our own work as health service providers and as family members and as patients ourselves the lack of cultural respect and strong racism in health services. So this is why cultural competency is vital, because people die if we're not culturally competent.
Professor Sullivan, has this been some of the things that you've been confronting in your research and some of the things you've had to think about through the work that you've been doing as well?
Yes, and, you know, I've had the privilege to work with Juanita over many years now and to partner and collaborate with her and really to learn every day, I think, more about the issues and see more of the issues in terms of the lack of culturally competent healthcare that we offer. And I think that there is enormous inequity still in the access to health services and in us strengthening health services so that communities are happy to access them.
Now that you've brought up that idea of communities, is this an issue of access as well? Is this inability to access healthcare one of the things that fits into this, or is there different access being to be had in different communities in Australia? Is that where the problem's coming from?
It's multidimensional, and access, I mean, basic access to a service can be totally shut down by you walking into a medical surgery and being growled at by the receptionist. And that can be enough to, if someone who's not feeling great that day, oh my God, why am I even thinking I can talk to anybody about my problems? That's enough to shut someone down. But you can go into a hospital situation, people are already, I was just talking to someone about this today, I can remember when I was nursing, this neurosurgeon decided, because this Aboriginal woman was an Aboriginal woman, that she had to lie. So he told everybody that they could not believe her because she was an Aboriginal woman. And this was some myth he'd been told, and it informed the way he practiced medicine and informed the way he talked to other people about how we cared for this patient, which was highly problematic.
Is this an issue of selectivity in research as well? Are health issues not being addressed because people aren't interested in looking into the health concerns of Indigenous people in Australia? Or is the research happening without taking on their interests into mind?
There's good research happening with Aboriginal people. It's governments who don't fund the good outcomes of that good research. I think there's some... The last 15, 20 years, there's been some great Indigenous research with Aboriginal communities. And the only way you're going to have good research is if you work with Aboriginal communities. And the only way you're going to have good policy is if you work with Aboriginal communities. And we've been watching governments turn policy round and round and round without involving Aboriginal communities. And it's been destructive and negative.
So something that you've brought up already is this idea of women in prison. I know it's an area that both of you are researching and both of you are looking at. So how does cultural competency and health fit into the way we think about people in prison? What's the link there?
It's the link to everything. I mean, being able to respect somebody immediately gives you an opportunity to have access if I made you feel that I didn't respect you, would you want to talk to me? So that's the very basis of trying to set up a relationship between myself and a health provider, you know, and a client. And if you're feeling this person's looking at me the wrong way, is giving me the dirty look, I know that that look. I mean, I watch it in classrooms where people stick their arms across and I see that look. And I can, we can smell it 200 miles away almost. And people pick that up very clearly because they're used to it. And so people can say straight away whether they can trust you and share and build and talk to you around their health issues or not.
What strikes me about that, though, is it's hard. How do you teach someone that their look is that powerful? Can you train people in that type of basic human interaction?
Well, it's not about looking. It's about being open. I suspect what we really need to be thinking about is going back and getting people to become a bit more open-minded and realise that there's not one culture that runs health, which is hard for health professionals to consider, and that there's many ways of knowing health, and that other ways, other cultures have different ways, including Indigenous Australians, but every other culture has their way of looking at health that needs to be respected. And so health services need to adapt their approach to meet the needs of people's that they're working with, and they're funded to do that.
We've talked a lot about these big ideas about what's culture and what how we relate to other people. In a day-to-day life, though, someone who's presenting to their doctor for, you know, a normal medical condition, is this something that's really playing out in a GP every day around Australia?
It should be. It should be something that, you know, a doctor should be saying, is it okay for me to talk to you, or would your family like to be in here with this consultation with you? A lot of communities believe that it's really important to have the family, and especially if the person is ill, they don't necessarily have all the nous to be able to answer all the questions that the doctor wants, and it provides a really solid history. And I guess the history-taking is probably a history-taking with an open mind and appreciating, and this is what is difficult, is that what you see in front of you is not necessarily, you won't have the context for it because you don't have enough information. So it does require a bit of reading. It does require, you have a big Aboriginal population clientele, do some reading in this area. You have a big Muslim population clientele, do some reading in this space. Build up your knowledge. You have to be competent in the sorts of surgical or drug type of therapy you've got to use. Well, competence in culturally is just as important and can be just as dangerous if you don't do it effectively.